page 9, Call to Worship. We call Salvationists worldwide to worship and proclaim the living God and to seek in every meeting a vital encounter with the Lord of life using relevant cultural forms and languages. We affirm that God invites us to a meeting in which God is present, God speaks, and God acts. In our meetings, we celebrate and experience the promised presence of Christ with his people. Christ crucified, risen, and glorified is the focal point, the epicenter of our worship. We offer worship to the Father through the Son, in the Spirit, in our own words, in acts which engage our whole being, body, soul, and mind. We sing the ancient song of creation to its Creator. We sing the new song of the redeemed to their Redeemer. We here proclaim the word of redemption, the call to mission, and the promise of life in the Spirit. A visitor is reported to have walked into the quietness of a Quaker meeting, turned to someone nearby and inquired, "When does the service begin?" The answer came back, "The service begins as soon as the meeting is over." Apart from illustrating that the word service is used in the Western world to indicate worship in a formal setting as well as practical Christian ministry, the incident in the Quaker meeting house reminds us that true worship involves more than religious observances. Worship comes from the heart. The words spoken in a formal setting or in quietness are best matched by daily living, which demonstrates all that we profess with our lips. When members of the commission met to discuss worship, they began their own worship with those words of Horatius Bonar, "Fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise, that my whole being may proclaim thy being and thy ways. Not for the lip of praise alone, nor e'en the praising heart, I ask but for a life made up of praise in every part." The call to worship is a call to worship and proclaim the living God. Worship and proclamation should go hand in hand. In the words of General Frederick Coutts, we cannot truly worship God unless we work for him with such powers as we may possess. If our acts of worship are sincere, if they are genuine, our lives will naturally reveal Christ. The call to proclaim has within it a challenge to be proactive. We are to announce the Lordship of Jesus. We are called to evangelize, but Christ says, "Come to me," before he says, "Go into the world." We find the springs of our spiritual life in our turning to God in private moments of prayer and devotion as well as in our worship together. Our meetings are vital to the spiritual life we share. They allow for freedom, and within the Salvation Army include prayer, praise, scripture, songs and testimony, as well as personal preparation by the leader. They resource us for service. They have the potential to fire us for mission, to inspire us for sharing the gospel. They have the capacity to change our lives, to redirect them, all because God is in the meeting. He is present, he speaks, and he acts. Nevertheless, we acknowledge that not every meeting fulfills its purpose. There are times when we fail either to hear what God is saying or be aware of what he's doing. The attitude we bring to a meeting dictates what we receive. The meeting is not primarily with each other, it is with God. If individually we are to benefit from the worship we offer, we must ensure the communication with God is two-way. In Isaiah 55 verse 3, the Lord issues an invitation. "Listen now, my people, and come to me. Come to me, and you will have life." There is a sense of relationship in the invitation. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus is recorded as inviting his disciples to "come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I'll give you rest." Scripture reminds us again and again that God invites us to come to him. The Psalms abound with calls to worship. Psalm 95 verse 6 implores, "Come, let us bow down and worship him. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." The psalmist captures the majesty of God and the awe and wonder of his people. He was ready for a vital encounter. He wanted to be with God, to see God, to understand God. And when we come to worship, the same enthusiasm combined with the same openness will bring us close to God. In this age, when modern miracles of technology surround us, the human sense of awe, respect and reverence are not what they once were. But if God Almighty is to make a difference in our lives, we must recognize and acknowledge his greatness. If we approach him carelessly, casually, or with such familiarity that we forget his holiness and our own unworthiness, we will meet only with disappointment. Jesus said some vital things about worship. Speaking to a Samaritan woman, he pointed out, "God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. The meeting house in which worship takes place may be either conducive or distracting to worship. The person leading the worship may be helpful or a hindrance, but much more important is how we prepare ourselves for worship and the attitude in which we come to our God. In the past few years, much has been made of differing styles of worship. Some are more visual than others, some are more expressive, some are charismatic, some are contemplative, some formal, some informal. For many, the quieter, more reflective periods are the moments when they are closest to God. When worship is at its quietest, they hear God the loudest. For others, it's different, and God is more than capable of meeting our individual needs as we allow Him. Catherine Baird spoke of worship in this way: "Loving friend, we stand before thee without merit or pretense. Teach us, guide us as we follow, trusting in thy sure defence. We would contemplate thy goodness, finding fortitude and grace, learning of our Father's mercy in the beauty of thy face." In its affirmation, the Commission acknowledges that in our meetings we celebrate and experience the promised presence of Christ with his people. Christ crucified, risen and glorified is the focal point, the epicenter of our worship. We worship Christ. He is the reason for our meeting. He has reconciled us to God. Because of this, we offer worship to the Father through the Son in the Spirit in acts which engage our whole being, body, soul and mind. The Salvation Army's emphasis on the possibility of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ means that verses such as this one by Francis Ridley Havergale not only have deep meaning, but also are an aid to moving forward in Christian experience. "Speak to me by name, O Master. Let me know it is to me. Speak that I may follow faster with a step more firm and free, where the shepherd leads the flock in the shadow of the rock." When Jesus was 12 years old, his parents lost him on the way home from Jerusalem. Luke's Gospel tells us, chapter 2, verse 44, that they thought Jesus was in their company, so they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Similarly, it's all too easy to arrive at a meeting expecting God to be present because he is in the company among our relatives and friends. If we neglect our own commitment or our own contribution, our own relationship with Christ, the meeting will do very little for us. With our commitment, contribution, and sense of relationship with Jesus, every meeting holds many possibilities. Even so, we should look for Christ in each other. One of the ways in which God is present in the meeting is in the lives of the people who are there. In Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus promises that where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. In a different situation, Jesus called a child to him and had him stand among them. Then he said that whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me, Matthew 18:5. We are to recognize Christ in the children who are present, even in the babies who sometimes distract us. But when we turn to Matthew 25, verse 31-44, we're asked to do more than see Christ in our relationships with other Christians. We are to see Christ in the person who comes knocking at the hall door and interrupts with his need. It might be someone wanting clothes or food or shelter. It might be someone released from prison. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Verse 40. Christ comes to our meeting and is present among us in different ways. Worship and service come together. As we recognize Christ in one another, as we are aware of his presence in the meeting, as we look to him for example, it should naturally follow that we become more like him and that when people look for Christ in us, they will find him. The meeting will have been worthwhile. The vital encounter have made its impact. Questions. 1. How can we ensure that we experience a vital personal encounter with Christ in our meetings? 2. In what ways do we approach and recognize Christ in our worship? 3. How does worship in our meetings relate to the way in which we live our everyday lives? 4. How relevant is our worship to newcomers? How much would they understand and what should we do to assist them? Scripture to consider: Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 7, Isaiah 1 verse 11 to 18, Psalm 95 verse 6, and Psalm 96 verse 9, and John 4, verse 21 to 24.